set up, you got it. All right, we have a seat. You're with us, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
My name is Bonita Walker.
Ms. Walker, where do you live?
I live at 230 Copperhead Road.
And is this a fair and accurate description of where you live?
Yes, sir, I live right here at 230 Copperhead Road.
And what, I don't see a structure. Is this picture taken before your house was built or something?
I have a mobile home right there at 230 Copperhead Road. It's been there about 2 years, and it's less than 1,000 feet from the incident.
Okay, all right. And the incident, you're pointing out, that the Commonwealth drew this yellow line here, where it goes through the trees?
Yes, they've got quite a bit of place marked yellow. I would say it's closer to right here,
okay.
But that's strictly an opinion.
Okay, all right. And for reference point, you're at the 230.
I'm at the 230. My son is at 71.
Okay. Well, if y'all had the opportunity to look at this, she's here, and here's where it happened. Ms. Walker, what has happened in the past that concerns you about
Jackson Road?
About ATV? About
race approach?
Ma'am, you're released from your subpoena, so you can go on and do whatever you choose to do.
Thank you.
You may proceed, sir.
Walker, have you ever been threatened in any way by ATV riders?
Multiple times.
Did any of those times involve firearms?
Yes, many times. I have been shot at close range.
On February 19th, do you remember an incident that happened on your property?
Vividly.
Now, where were you located before this interplay occurred?
My husband and I and two of my grandchildren were at 230 Copperhead Road. We were cutting wood and loading it into a trailer. We got there about 2:30 in the afternoon, and we probably weren't as efficient as we thought we should be because we had grandchildren with us. And we heard ATV riders, and they kind of rushed through, and we kind of growled at each other. And about 4 o'clock-ish, and neither one of us had our phones with us or anything because we were loading wood and cutting wood, so you don't want to lose or break your phone. And we heard some more coming from the Salem Chapel Road area, which is east of us. And they were coming at a, what I'm going to call a normal ATV pace. It wasn't fast, it wasn't slow, they weren't hot riding or anything. And my husband had, at that time, a heart condition. And so I said, I'll take care of it this time. And opened the truck door, reached in and grabbed the gun, put it in my pocket, and cigarettes. Didn't think about the cell phone. And I started hoofing it across the field. And I went straight for where I thought they was going to come through, where the path that they had cut was, because we had closed up the path at the northeast corner. And sure enough, that's where they went. And once they got on the straightaway, they went a little faster, so I started going a little faster. And when I got about 50 to 75 feet away from them, from the path that that they crossed through, I didn't think I was going to make it. So I paused, unlocked the gun, shot into the ground, and locked it back. And they paused at that point. And so I went on over there, and I told them that was trespassing. But at that point, there was two of them there, and there were two more coming down the hill. And they weren't quite on my property yet. And I threw my hand up, and I said, y'all don't need to come on my property. Y'all don't need to get involved in this. I now know that that was Keeley and Ty. And they had a real surprised look on their face, and they put their ATVs in reverse and backed up over onto Albertson's property. What was stopped at that point was, to my left was an ATV with a single rider and a UTV to my right with four people on it, two adults and two children, and they were stopped. It was cool. It had been raining, so it was muddy. I had boots on. And
did you make any statement to them?
I told them, y'all can leave. You leave your vehicles here, and I'll have them towed. I'll call the sheriff's office, let them know where it's at, and that way y'all don't have to be in contact with me, or you can call me, I'll be glad to give you my number. I said, I've had enough of this. I said, if I had my phone, I could take your picture and send it to the sheriff's office, but I've had enough. And I'm paraphrasing here. That's not word for word, sir.
And did you at any time approach their vehicles?
Soon, I was kind of pacing in that area so that they didn't maneuver around. Yes, I was right there walking back and forth between the two vehicles.
And Mr. Pratt testified that you walked up to his vehicle and shot the tire. You tell us in your words what happened.
He said, Mr. Pratt, said, well, I'm just going to leave.
Here's the first approach, Jason. apologize, I thought this was supposed to be.
Did you tell them they could leave at any time?
Yes, but without their vehicles.
And you were telling us what happened with Pratt, but try not to say anything anybody said. And I apologize, I may have asked you that.
Okay. I realized who Pratt was once I chilled a little bit. And I told him he wasn't supposed to be on my property anyway. He had been told by both me and my husband and my law enforcement not to be there prior.
Okay, so you saw Mr. Pratt. What did you do? I mean, you saw that scene.
I got up close to his vehicle and I said, "You get off my property." And I took my gun back out of my pocket and put it to my side, to my right side. I said, "You get off my property. Get off my property." You know, I was furious. Get off my property now. Leave your vehicle. I'll have it towed. The sheriff's office will tell you where this thing is. I said, "I'm done." I said, "You tore up my property enough. Leave." You know, something similar to that.
And then what did Mr. Pratt do?
He said, "I'm not leaving my vehicle here. You're not keeping
my..." You can't tell me what he said. What did he do?
I apologize. My right foot was under the left tire, and he kind of revved the engine up a little bit, and it moved forward some. And I was scared a little bit. I was a little scared. And I said, "You're not running over me." So I kind of scuffled a little bit for the key, and he kept just... We scuffled a little bit for the key, and I realized he was going to keep moving. So I said, "You're not running over me." I shot the back tire. I leaned over and shot the back tire. And we scuffled a little bit more. And I got moved away a little bit. I don't know whether he literally pushed me or what, but I ended up at the left front of the vehicle. And he revved the engine some more. And I was pushed away by the ATV because it was somewhat moving at that point. And I'm not sure whether it was because he was revving the engine or what, but the ATV pushed me, and I didn't know whether I was going to go under it, whether I was going to be run over it, whether I was going to go over the top of it. And I didn't want to die, and I didn't want to be injured, and I knew my grandchildren were just right there, and my husband was just right there. but I didn't want to hurt anybody, so I took my gun, flipped the safety off, and I aimed for his engine. I didn't want to hurt him either, as much as I really thought he was trying to hurt me. I did not want to hurt him. And apparently I missed his engine. My gun's gas tank.
At this point, just for my clarification, was Mr. Pratt standing on the machine or was he sitting down?
I really don't know. He says he was standing. I don't recall him standing up. I really don't recall him standing up. I don't know. I just don't know, Mr. Richmond. I don't know, Mark.
Okay, all right. Now, Mr. Pratt said that you were, he testified that you were actually away and off to the side. Were you in front of this vehicle when you fired the shot?
I was at the driver's side tire, slightly pushed away from it, but enough that I was probably about this far from what I thought was the engine. And this far is about 2.5 to 3 inches. Cody Pratt might not know what 2 inches is, but I do.
And then Mr. Miller, what did he do?
I was far enough away from the vehicle that he could get by me, apparently without knocking me down, and he could get by the Miller vehicle, and he drove across the farm.
And then what did you do after that?
Watched him drive across the farm, and I was still scared. I was making sure that he didn't go up toward the grandkids. I'm not sure what I would have done, but I was just making sure. And then I turned around and looked at the Miller vehicle, wondering if they were going to try to run over me too. So I walked up to it, and I said, "Y'all have a chance to leave. Get off the vehicle. Go up the hill. And y'all leave. I'll have the vehicle towed." And he said, "We're not going to do that." I said, "Fine, I'll shoot your engine out." And Miller said, "Don't shoot my engine out." I said, "Okay, I'll make a deal with you. I'll just shoot your tires then." I said, "You want to leave or you want me to shoot your tires?" He said, "We're not..." I don't know if it was him or Manley. One of them said, "We're not leaving." And so I went over to the driver's side, knowing there's kids in the vehicle. I bent down and shot the tire, walked around and shot the other tire, flipped the safety back on, sat down and said, "What do y'all call the law?" The whole time, Madeline was sitting there on her phone, and I heard her calling, trying to get permission to get on the property.
Okay. Where were you positioned when you fired at their tires?
May I stand up and do this?
Yes.
Yes.
Which vehicle am I showing you, sir?
You're showing Miller vehicle.
Miller vehicle. This is the front of the UTV. Right here. Front of the UTV. I shot them. I wasn't quite at the side. I was at the front. And I put my hand at knee height. That's what I was taught to do. Walked around. Did I employ that?
Sorry. Did I employ that?
No, please. Same thing. Knee height.
In your opinion...
Is that okay?
If you'd like to put it.
Yeah, I'm going to object to any opinions you might have.
Okay.
Unless he's an expert, sir. I mean, unless we've got part of his approach. Tell us what happened with the, after you had sat down. Did you tell them again they could leave if they had moved their vehicle? Or what did you do? Just tell me what you did.
I sat down. I sat on a piece of wood because it was muddy. My gun was, safety was on, laid it down in front of me. And waited. I don't recall Madeline saying a whole lot. I don't think she said anything to me. I think she and Travis was having a conversation off and on.
Yeah. Bear in mind, you can't tell me what they said.
I couldn't understand what they were saying. They were talking back and forth, talking quietly. Miller and I, Travis and I, were chatting back and forth. Can I tell you what they said, what Travis and I spoke of?
You can tell what you said, but you can't tell what Mr. Miller said.
We were talking about the farm, the fact that both of us were farmers. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
That he would work with, I can't say that. Asked him if he knew the person that farmed my farm. He said he did.
But you can't tell me what he said. You can't tell me what he said.
Okay. I asked him if he knew the person who farmed our farm. He said he did. I asked him if he rode the four-wheeler very often. I asked him if he lived nearby.
Okay, I'm going to move on and just ask you. You've already said you were sitting down. Oh, this was during the conversation. Let's get forward until the officers arrived. Tell me what happened.
Rudd came down the hill first. And he said, give me your weapon. And I said something to the effect of, you've got to be kidding. But I knew he wasn't. So I said, something similar to that. So I proceeded to pick up my weapon.
Did you tell him you wouldn't give up your weapon?
No, I said, you've got to be kidding.
Okay.
I remember saying, you've got to be kidding, because I was on my own property. I was like, I've got a weapon on my own property. And that's what went through my mind is, I'm on my own property. And I just said, you've got to be kidding.
Okay, well, just tell us what happened.
So I picked up my weapon. And it's a respect thing. I've been an emergency responder for over 30 years. I was going to stand up and hand it to them. So I picked it up, and being raised by a Marine, I've always been taught, clear your weapon before you hand it off. So Rudd moved on, but I could see Greenfield coming down the hill, so I was guessing that I was going to hand it off to Greenfield, or maybe hand it off to Rudd. So I said, clearing my weapon. I hit the button for the clip and was going to clear the chamber. And Greenfield grabbed my arm.
These are two of the deputies that I have never worked with, ever. Greenfield done the right thing. He took me down because he had no clue. I'm guessing that the weapon was pointed at Rudd, but I don't know. But I was in the process of standing up and clearing my weapon at the same time. But I said clearing my weapon.
Did you apologize later to him about not handing it to him faster?
Yeah, on the way to the sheriff's office, Greenfield said, you know, I'm sorry about taking you down like that. I said, you were doing your job. The conversation was something like that. You were doing your job. You guys need to go home at night. As far as taking me down, Officer Greenfield did nothing wrong. But I said I was clearing my weapon, and he may not have heard it. There is a lot of adrenaline going on, it seems like that, especially with a weapon. I've been around these guys for 30 years.
Okay. Let's get forward a little bit in time to when you had a discussion in the sheriff's office. Do you remember a conversation then about people's rights?
I took the Fifth Amendment thing. Officer Greenfield asked me if I wanted to tell him what happened, and I said, I think I'll take the Fifth. I want to talk to my attorney. He had already asked me a couple of questions. But when we got to the sheriff's office, I said something about, could I ask him a couple of questions? And I probably did not communicate well, and he was probably still full of adrenaline as well. And I meant them as an abstract conversation. And from his testimony, he probably did not take that as an abstract conversation.
What was that abstract conversation about when you're...
Gun rights, property rights combined. Did a person have the right to
Marty's purpose, please?
After dark, so it
you could hear the ATVs and I could hear the gunshots. So it would be a guess, sir, that it was ATV riders.
So you don't have in your memory a situation where you went out onto your property and there's somebody on an ATV and they see you and shoot at you? That you don't have that experience in your life, do you?
Can you clarify the question?
I'm asking you, do you have a memory of ever having gone out onto your land, see an ATV on your land, and see that person, whoever it is, fire a gun in your direction?
No, sir. Not in broad daylight, sir.
And you will admit, will you not, that you have made numerous calls to the Marshall County Sheriff's Office?
If you're talking about the TAD report that we received, that is some of the calls that I have made.
Okay.
Pardon the drivers, please.
So you're aware of the CAD reports?
Yes, sir.
And would you agree with me that if you read every one of the reports that you've made, you never reported being shot at?
Those CAD reports are for 911 calls. Anything that is a non-emergency call is not on those CAD reports. Every time that I called, as a general rule, I called the non-emergency number, because as an emergency responder, I know the difference between an emergency and a non-emergency.
I appreciate all that, but I just want you to answer my question. On the CAD reports,
yes, sir.
Did you ever report being shot at?
I never called 911 to be when I was shot at, because I was not hit. It was not an emergency. Is that a
you would not consider that an emergency?
No,
someone
I would not consider
fired
that an emergency.
A gun on your land and you didn't know who it was or where it was going?
No, sir, I do not consider that an emergency. No one was injured,
right.
No one was dying.
All right, I got it. Would you admit with me that the main problem you have with the people coming on the land is worrying about how it would affect your ability to grow crops on your land?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
My fences have been cut. I have had things stolen. I have had people camp on my property. I have had poachers. I have had people grow marijuana.
Okay. And I you've reported all this to the local sheriff?
Yes, on a non-emergency basis. Dispatch only. It is not on a CAD report because that is not on a CAD report, sir.
At the exact location where you found these ATVs that we're dealing about in this case?
Yes, sir.
Is there a fence there?
Not any longer, sir. There was.
Yeah, but you're not saying that the people, that the victim, the alleged victims in this case cut your fence?
Not this time.
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
How long had it been cut where riders could get through there?
This situation has been going on for 14 years.
How long had it been since the fence had been cut so that riders then could have access without trying to get through a fence? How long?
This situation has been going on for 14 years. I don't know how long.
So for 14 years the fence has been open there?
There's been trespassing for 14 years.
You don't know when that fence was cut?
Not that particular one. There are approximately 8 paths that have now been trees cut across. So that particular path, no sir, I don't know about that particular path.
Well, would you agree with me that if you fence in your property, it's going to be much more difficult for any of these riders to come across your land?
No, sir, I won't agree with you at all, because it was fenced before, and the fences are cut. They'll cut fences, they'll cut trees.
You don't know that about these people, Travis Miller or any of them? You don't know that if they'd had that fence, that they would have gotten out and cut the fence?
They didn't look at the signs that said no trespassing. Why would a fence make a difference? It's a lack of respect, sir, for other people's property.
And if someone doesn't respect your property, you believe you can use deadly force in that regard?
Only when somebody tries to run over me, sir.
Yeah. And let's just get to that. You say that the young Pratt man tried to run over you. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's the way I took it, sir.
And were you ever located in front of his vehicle?
I was at the left front of his ATV, sir.
Now, let's say, assume the vehicle had lights on the very front of it. Were you ever standing in front of where the lights would shine out?
Not directly in front, sir. I was at the corner between the tire and the light, sir.
This is the edge of the ATV. You're standing at that corner.
Would you like for me to show you exactly
yes,
how I was standing,
please,
sir?
Please do. Please do. Now, let me be the driver.
Okay, you be the driver? I was standing like this, sir.
All right. And where are the keys?
Right about where your hands are, sir.
So you can stay there to get to the keys.
We were scuffling for the keys, sir.
Right.
Yes, because it's a smaller ATV. The UTV is probably half again as wide as this.
Is the motor running?
Yes, sir.
The motor's running, so you want to turn it off and then just take the keys?
Yes, sir. That's what I was trying to do, sir.
Okay. And he makes it clear to you that this is not happening. He's not going to give you the keys.
No. And he's younger and stronger than I am.
Okay.
I'm smaller and I have some chronic illnesses. He's a lot stronger than I am.
His actions led you to believe that he's leaving.
He's leaving, sir. However, he has to push me away. And that ATV slides me backwards in the mud.
Did you have any marks on your body that you could have shown Mr. Greenfield or anybody else that you had been hit by this ATV?
I was muddy all over, but I took the Fifth Amendment, and he didn't.
You weren't answering my question. Did you tell the law so that what you just said to this jury, that ATV actually bumped me?
No, sir, I took the Fifth Amendment because it had handcuffs.
And then, I want you to leave it. I want to get the whole, you're here, and you say it bumped you, so
yes.
It bumped you back.
He's
leaving. Because to bump you, he has to be moving, right?
It pushed me in the mud, sir. It was very muddy.
Okay, pushed you.
Now, hold on just a second, please. These are pictures that I took 2 days later.
Ma'am, this looks a lot better if you just answer my questions. You can do all of this in your testimony. Right now, you're going to answer my questions.
I apologize.
Okay. So you admitted that you believe you were pushed by the momentum of the ATV.
ATV, yes.
And in your back now.
I scooted back.
And so this thing's moving.
It was moving.
At this point, you have not shot the gas tank, have you?
No, sir.
So as he then goes by, you shoot into the gas tank.
He's barely moving.
He's moving.
Very slightly moving, yes, sir.
So he wasn't sitting still when you shot into the gas tank of that ATV?
No, sir. Right. But I shoot at 97% accuracy rate.
Yeah. And you've described, now he's gone.
He
shot his tire And you've shot his gas tank.
Yes, sir.
But he's gone.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now you proceed over to the other vehicle.
The Miller vehicle.
The Miller vehicle. Where you acknowledge you saw children.
Yes, sir.
So you're firing a weapon so far with little children about, what, 10, 15 feet away?
I acknowledged there were children in the vehicle, and I made sure that they, that the way I fired my weapon was where they were not at risk.
You shot into a metal, a machine.
I shot into a tire, sir.
No, I'm talking about when you shot the gas tank. You shot that at this level.
Correct? Okay, now wait a minute. I thought we was at the Miller vehicle.
No, well, we'll go back.
Okay, you want to go back. I apologize.
I acknowledge you knew there was children over here somewhere.
Yes, sir. I knew there was children over there.
And you're shooting here.
I'm shooting at the Pratt vehicle. Yes, sir.
Had that struck a solid piece of metal?
There wasn't a solid piece of metal.
Well, I know that, but there was. What we're talking about is the potential of a ricochet that could have literally hit those people that were there.
That's not so. It could not have ricocheted through that engine. It would have went straight through. That engine is soft metal,
I'm,
sir.
I'm sorry. You're an expert. That is not admissible testimony. Next question, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Judge.
No, my objection, Judge.
Trying to hit the gas tank.
No, sir. I was trying to hit the engine, which is soft metal.
Right. So what you were trying to hit is not what you hit.
No, sir.
Yeah. So you missed.
With a slow-moving vehicle, yes, I missed the engine and I hit the gas tank.
Yeah. So instead of missing the engine, you could have hit Cody Pratt.
Sir, if I'd have wanted to hit Cody Pratt, I'd have put the gun up in his chest. I was trying to miss Cody Pratt.
By what? Just a matter of inches? You're trying to miss him by inches?
No, I was trying to stop the ATV from running over me, sir.
Now, I think that dog has already gone when you said he backed up. You said he bumped you. You're now out of the way.
No, I said he pushed me, and I didn't know if he was going to go to the right or to the left.
Oh, you're going to make this great 90-degree turn and run over.
No, you said a 90-degree turn. All it would have took was just a little bit of a turn. Sir, do you know anything about ATVs at all?
Let's get back.
I know. You're the one asking the questions. But you've got to know a little bit about ATVs.
And the way this works is the attorney asks you a question, and you respond. It is not appropriate to ask the attorney a question.
Thank you, sir. Now back to the Miller vehicle. Pratt's gone, whatever. We've gone through what happened there. We've heard your version of what you said happened. I do want to make sure I cover this before I finish my cross, is that surely, when the officers got there to try to figure out what the heck happened out there, you surely told someone from the law that he tried to run over you.
No, sir. I took the Fifth Amendment when they hooked me up, because the way that at that point I was being treated, I took the Fifth Amendment.
You thought that by telling the officers that he tried to run over you would somehow incriminate yourself?
Sir, I took the Fifth Amendment at the scene. I thought talking to my attorney would be the best possible, have the best possible outcome.
All right, back to the Travis Miller vehicle. Now you walk over to this vehicle, correct?
Okay, we're back at
Miller's
vehicle.
Yes, sir.
And you still got your gun out.
My gun
is back in safety mode and down to my side.
And you fired it at this point three times?
No, sir, not three times.
Well, you said you fired a warning shot out in the dirt.
I fired a warning shot prior to getting to the scene, sir.
Okay, that's one.
Yes, sir.
And two then would be?
At Cody Pratt's vehicle, yes, sir.
And at Cody Pratt's tire.
Okay, I apologize, I misunderstood.
All right,
well,
you fired three times.
I have fired three shots.
Now, how many bullets do you have left?
Clip holds seven, and there's one in the chamber. There is eight. I have fired three. There is five.
You took fully loaded. It was fully loaded.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. I keep my weapon fully loaded.
All right. So now you're going to deal with Travis Miller and his two little kids and his girlfriend. And you tell them they need to leave.
No, that's not so.
All right, what'd you tell them right off the bat?
I asked them if they wanted to leave. I said, you have another chance to leave. Would you like to leave? And I put my hand like this. I said, would you like to leave? And they said, we're not leaving. I said, I'll have your vehicle towed. Would you like to leave?
Ma'am, isn't it the truth that Travis told you, look, I've got two little kids. We can't pack them all the way back.
The other two ATVs, sir, were at the top of the hill. They wouldn't have to pack them except to the top of the hill. Maybe 20 feet, sir.
All right. So, basically, you wanted these four people to leave you with their ATV, and then they could ride back with the other two.
Yes,
That's
sir.
That's how you saw it. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, when is it that you went up there and talked to those two that were up there, that'd be Kylie and Ty, and tell them to leave?
I didn't go up there, and it was prior to anything but the warning shot being fired. They were coming down the hill, I held my hand up and said, y'all don't need to come on my property. You need to stay back up, and get back over there. And that's paraphrasing, sir. It is not the exact
word. I understand. You can't be like a recorder, but you're basically telling them not to come onto your land and to leave.
And to back up and stay off my property.
All right. And when you are talking to those two, Ty and Kylie, you're doing that from where you're standing down by Travis Mill?
No, sir. I'm doing that standing at about the driver's side of Cody Pratt's vehicle, and I'm standing facing north, northwest approximately so that I can see Pratt and Miller vehicle.
And can you see Kylie and Tom?
Yes, I can see them if I turn my head, but my body is facing north-northwest, and if I turn my head, I can see them. They are almost due east.
And could you tell that it was that one of them was a young boy?
I can see one person on one ATV and one person on another. They look like youngsters.
Okay.
And that's the best I could do. I just said, get off my land, stay off my land, get your ATVs off my land, something similar to that.
Of course, they weren't on your land. You're just telling them not to come on you.
Correct, sir.
And the ones that had come onto your land were in the wooded area, just past your no trespassing sign.
Yes, that they claimed they didn't see.
Now we go to the Miller car. Miller, for some reason, you think you need to shoot the tires out of the Travis Miller vehicle as well, correct?
I give them the opportunity to leave twice, and I tell them they're not getting the chance to run over me like Pratt nearly did. I'm fed up with being
We get that.
Okay.
You're telling me that you told Travis Miller that I don't want you to run over me.
I told Miller, Manley, and their two kids at the same time. I didn't tell just Travis Miller, sir. I told all of the occupants of that UTV, y'all, not just you, y'all are not getting the chance to run over me also.
All right. And I guess that you didn't tell the law that when they were trying to figure out what happened either.
Sir, I'll say it again.
You took the fifth.
I took the fifth. I want to talk to my attorney. If the law would have wanted to talk to me, they was welcome to talk to me anytime with my attorney present.
You already thought that maybe you were in some kind of trouble with the law, so you took the fifth?
No, sir. That's not what I thought.
All right.
What I thought was, I'm in handcuffs. The best thing I need to do is talk to my
attorney.
We're
not to that point at all. We're talking about right after Cody Pratt left, and you're now dealing with Travis and Jessica Manley and those two little kids. And at that point, you're saying that you told them don't run over me.
I told them don't run over me. But you asked me a question about the law, so I asked that question as well.
I understand. Now, apparently, their response to you was not satisfactory, so you decided then again to use your gun with two little kids on that ride and go over there and shoot the tires. Correct?
Their response to me was Manley's response was, I'm not walking through the mud. Travis's response was, I'm staying with her. They didn't want to walk through the mud, apparently, up the hill to the other two ATVs, and I wasn't giving them the chance to attempt to run over me. I felt like my life was in danger. I felt more than a little threatened, so I went to the side of the vehicle, like I have already shown, and bent down and shot the tire, went to the other side, bent it down, and apparently missed the tire.
Now think about that. You want this jury to believe that nobody out there was in any danger whatsoever, so I went over there and bent down when the only thing I could possibly hit would be that tire, and you missed the tire? Are you kidding me? Are you that bad a shot?
No, I'm not that bad of a shot, sir. But there's a lot of adrenaline flowing. There's a lot of adrenaline flowing. A whole lot of adrenaline flowing. A whole lot.
But the truth of the matter is, the reason why you missed the tire is not because you were down there bending. You were a good piece away, and you were shooting at
it. No, sir.
From that distance.
Sir, were you there? The law,
the witnesses said.
And they said I was close.
Yeah, we believe that. You were close to them. But if I'm going to bend over, or you're going to bend over, and you're going to shoot the tire, like the way you're describing it, you can't miss by taking it like that. How could you miss a tire from 6-8 inches the way you're describing
Those are pretty good sized tires. I didn't have to bend over very much, sir.
All right, so now you're admitting you didn't bend over much.
Well, you're bending over really far. I didn't have to bend
over.
That's
the way I saw your attorney demonstrate it. And I think that's the way I saw you demonstrate it, that you bent over to shoot the tire.
Let me approach.
I think at this point, and by your own admission, you didn't mean to shoot Cody Pratt's gas tank for the obvious reason of the danger of the gas exploding. Correct?
Okay, we're back
you
on
shot Pratt. At his engine and you missed.
We're back on Pratt, right?
Right. I just want you to admit that what you were shooting at, you missed.
The vehicle was moving slowly. I did not hit the engine. I did hit the gas tank, sir.
Yeah.
Apparently, from what?
And had a screech.
From the pictures that I have seen, I apparently hit the gas tank.
Right. Which had a spark. If that had sparked it, you could have killed the boy.
Well, that's just not so.
That thing would have blown up.
That's just not so.
All right, I'm not going to go there.
I have been a firefighter for over 30 years.
All right.
How much forensic stuff do you have? I have been a firefighter. A spark from a bullet would not start.
Judge, objections, I'm not an expert.
If you just respond to the question.
You know, I'm going to approach.
Sir, I have been a firefighter.
You know, it's him.
I do want to say, you admit you, you were not trying to hit the gas tank. You were trying to hit his engine. Is that true so far?
Yes.
And then on the second vehicle, you were intended to hit a tire, and you missed it also. Would you admit that?
Yes, it ran on the floor.
Now, that's twice you've used that expression about adrenaline. They could. When our adrenaline is pushing us, that then we can be more careless, so we're not as good as how we normally might fire.
Yes, but I'll leave it to the expert, Mr. Greenberg.
Now the officers arrive, and as I understand your testimony, here's an officer of the law. He's full uniform, correct? Luke Rudd came out there in his uniform.
Yes.
You knew that laws. And he said, give me, according to you, I don't know if that's really what you said, but according to you, you said, give me your weapon. Correct?
Yes.
And your response to that was, you gotta be kidding.
More or less.
Yeah. That's a man of the law giving you an instruction to give him your weapon, and you want to debate, or you think that's some kind of joke? You gotta be kidding.
Sir, I was on my own property. But I was just kind of dumbfounded. You've got to be kidding.
But you didn't obey the officer.
Yes, sir, I did. That's not so. I did. My weapon was on the ground. I picked my weapon up and I said, clearing my weapon.
And I believe at this point of your testimony, correct me if I got this wrong, because I don't do shorthand, but I try my best to keep up. But that you're guessing the weapon was pointed at Officer Rudd.
As I was clearing my weapon, yes.
It was pointed at him.
It's a guess. It may have been pointed in that direction because that's the way I was sitting. But it was locked.
Officer had no way of knowing that.
And I admitted that.
Admitting that you pointed a weapon.
No, I said it could have been.
That you could have pointed a weapon at an officer of the law. Luke
I Rudd. Said it was pointed in that direction.
In his direction. All right.
I wasn't watching him. I was clearing my weapon, sir.
And did you tell the officer that's what you were doing?
I stated. Clearing my weapon.
Instead of doing what he asked you to do.
I picked the gun up off of the ground where I had it, picked it up. He looked right, walked away. So I picked it up, kind of looked around, saw Greenfield walking down the hill. My brain went, well, I guess I'm going to be giving it to this one. So I said, clearing my weapon. I guess it's not in here now. It's got a little button, so to speak, that you push to poke the magazine out. I pushed that button, and I was going to clear the chamber. And I started to clear the chamber, and that's when Greenfield took my arm.
Yeah.
But I said, clearing my weapon, and you can clear the weapon.
When you think you may have or could have pointed the weapon in the direction of Officer Rudd, when did that occur?
When I was clearing the weapon, and it was locked. It could not have fired, sir.
Now, at any other time when you were out there with that weapon, could you have pointed it, or the way you put it, guess you could have pointed it in the direction of any of those human beings out there?
No, sir. I make sure I did not point it at a human being.
So I have.
Redirect.
Did you ever specifically point the weapon at a person?
Never. I made sure that I did not point the weapon at a human being.
That's all I have.
Okay. Next witness, sir.
Tommy Jones. Nobody looking.
Okay. Recording's approaching. Jones, you raise your right hand, sir. You swear the information you're about to give to yourself, you got?
Yes.
Lower your hand. Before you begin, sir, ladies and gentlemen, I have an instruction to give you pertaining to this witness. Testimony of this witness that he may give is not an issue in this case with regard to the facts that he's expected to testify to, and the answers that he may give are not regarded to be regarded by you to any degree as evidence that such matters are true, or as evidence of any substantive fact involved in this case. You may consider the witness's answers only insofar as they may have bearing, if they do so, upon the accuracy and believability of Cody Pratt.
That's it. Take your name, please.
Thomas W. Jones.
I'm sorry?
Thomas W. Jones.
I'm sorry. And where do you live?
103 Green Acre Lane, Benton.
And because you live on Green Acres Road, are you familiar with Anita Walker?
Yes.
Are you also familiar with Cody Pratt?
Yes.
How long have you known Mr. Pratt?
A year.
Okay. Were you and Mr. Pratt ever on together on Mrs. Walker's property?
Me and Cody?
Yeah.
No.
You weren't? Okay. Were you ever in the presence of Cody Walker and Mrs. Cody Pratt and Mrs. Walker at the same time?
No.
You were never?
No.
A second. Can you talk to my client?
I
Judge, I apologize. Apparently, this witness wasn't going to say what I thought he was going to say, so I'll release him.
Any cross?
No, sir.
Okay. Your excuse, sir, you're going about your business. Next witness, sir.
Judge, if you'll give me a moment to see if Ms. Knopf has come back and what she's got.
Okay, we'll go ahead and take a break then. All right. You go ahead and read the admonition, please. We'll take a just a brief break, ladies and gentlemen.